It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, two innovative and delicious approaches to education. Then later in the hour, I'll talk with one of the founders of Look, Cook, and Eat, a digital magazine designed to teach people with intellectual disabilities how to cook. But first, we're going to start with Elliott Test Kitchen in Fort Madison, Iowa. It's a place where young people can go to learn about food, but they can also learn a whole lot more. Elliott Test Kitchen gives students access to tutoring in many different subjects. With me now is Kumar Wickramasinghe. He is founder of Elliott Test Kitchen. Also with us is Andrew Troxell, who's technology integrator for the Fort Madison Community School District and one of the consultants for the Elliott Test Kitchen. Hello, Kumar.
Yeah, hi. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And hello, Andrew.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here.
So, Kumar, let's start with you. This is such an unusual idea to combine cooking education with all kinds of other education. Where did this idea come from?
Well, actually, this idea come from culture I come from. I'm actually originally from Sri Lanka. So that part of the world, after-school educational program is a very common thing. I mean, you can walk along the street and you can find the places to math, science, history, you name it, any subject. But when small town Iowa, when we do not have that, I was always shocked. And also every time I visit back in my homeland, Sri Lanka, I always come back saying, you know, somebody need to start this, somebody need to start this. And that's part of the reason how this started.
All right. And for people, this concept, because it is kind of foreign to us in Iowa, maybe a little bit hard to understand. I mean, you call it a test kitchen. And when we think about test kitchens, we think about places where new recipes are tried out. But, of course, you've got a kind of a clever double meaning with test kitchen because you're also preparing young people to succeed academically. Give us an idea of all the things that happen at Elliott Test Kitchen.
Well, the name Test Kitchen, I got it from, I like the word, two words. The test mean education, kitchen mean food. So my background has been on a culinary. I've been a chef and well-known restaurant here in my past. So I wanted to put those two together and use the food as a tool to get the kids and the teachers into a one place after school to what my dreams to happen. So what this program is, after school, we have kids have a place to come down, and also teachers have a place to come down. And what I want that to happen is the kids, whoever need any help with any subject for school, math, science, history, also to apply for a college or a school science project, then also I won't have the teachers available to help those kids after school. So I decided to use my food background, so kind of like a bait. So they both get your homework done, I will cook you the most awesome meal before you go home. That goes for the teachers and the kids. So that was the whole idea behind this program.
So getting teachers involved, teachers work really hard. They put in a lot of hours. Getting teachers involved in tutoring after school, are they volunteering or have you come up with a way to pay them for their time?
They're volunteering.
All right. So you had to convince a lot of teachers to give even more to the kids in their community. How did you go about doing that?
Actually, it was very my passion for education. So actually, you know, my daughter went to the Fort Madison High School, and she graduated in 2012. So actually, she got a scholarship to go to Iowa State. That's where she's still at now. But after my daughter graduated 2012. I still continue to go to the school and talk to all the teachers who taught my daughter, and actually Andrew was one of them. And, you know, that come from the culture I come from, because the teaching is considered a very high-valued profession, and I don't think that is the same case around here these days. So me going to school and talking to the teachers, and not only that, I had this hobby of making videos. So I have made over 20-some videos about our school system, you know, the band, the show choir, lipped-up videos. So I have built up a lot of relationship at this time. So when I came up with the idea and I told the teachers, I am doing this for you. I am creating a place where you can be a teacher and do what you love to do. So once I got my message clearly, it was an easy sell.
All right. Well, and Andrew, let's bring you into the conversation. You're one of the consultants for this organization, and also I mentioned earlier, technology integrator for the Fort Madison Community School District. When Kumar brought this idea to you, what was your response?
Well, I thought it was a wonderful idea. And definitely it's a piece that's missing in our community. I would say a lot of communities throughout Iowa. What I want to do is offer opportunities for youth to advance themselves academically, and I want to make this the best environment for teachers as well. And from just listening to him share his passion, you know, his prior experiences, I mean, it's tough not to jump on board with a guy that's willing to risk a lot to provide opportunities to our kids.
Well, and our phone connection isn't great with you, Andrew, so we're going to hang up. We'll give you a call back and reconnect. I'm sure we'll have a better connection then. And Kumar, let me ask you, so how, I know you've been at this, what, about 2 years now?
No, one year.
One year.
We just finished 1 year. November 1st, it was the starting date, 2015.
Okay, so you've been doing this for 1 year. How many students have you had involved in that past year?
So when I came up with this crazy idea, you know, of course, I had a certain budget to work with. So what I did was I have formed a foundation, nonprofit. But just like you were asking, you know, it was a really hard sell to go explain what I'm doing to somebody in the community. So once I started the project, so I used all my financial resources to get this launched. So that allowed me, my budget at that time allowed me to have 10 kids and one teacher and one volunteer a day after school. You know, that's totally dictated by my budget. But in the first month, we were experiencing closer to 25 kids and four teachers and about three volunteers a day.
Wow.
So it was, you know, I was very humbled because to show the community the need is there.
How can kids get involved? What do they need to do to be a part of it?
First, what we did was, you know, this is a learning curve for all of us. So we told first, you know, they had to go to we told them, go and talk to your student counselor in your school. And then student counselor give me a call and saying, hey, this kid interested in it. And they will actually, counselor hand them a form, and then they will bring the form here. You know, we just want to make sure what grade level they're at. And there are a few liability issues they need to sign. And then it's that simple. And they come here, they get their homework done, and then they have a most wonderful meal and then go home.
So when the students are there, is that a requirement that they need to get their homework done before they can move into the kitchen?
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, this is a very interesting thing because that was my imagination. These kids come in here, they got so much homework, they would not have a time to get them all done. But that's not what I experienced. They get their homework done really fast because I think not sure whether they have enough homework or no homework, but everyone wants to cook. So mostly about a first hour, they get their homework done. They arrive about 3:30 to 4:30, and then they come and help cook.
Well, and tell me about the cooking part, because you said, well, I'll make you some amazing food, but you've been teaching the kids how to cook, right?
That's correct.
So what kinds of things do you teach them to make?
Well, for example, you know, I normally, for example, if I'm making a nice meatloaf, so I kind of get everything ready, then all the kids have to do is mix it up just during for the time frame. And normally, sometimes if it's a pork roast I put in the oven, then when the kids come in here, I will make them do the side dishes so they can help me peel potatoes and trying to make mashed potatoes with other stuff. But the most amazing thing is what I discovered is sometimes if I have spinach or something and then they, you know, kids started asking, oh, we don't eat spinach, can we have something else? And I quickly learned, no, this is it. You are going to eat it, and you're going to try it, and you're going to tell me. And once the kids start cooking it, and it's amazing, and they get that buying in, okay, I cooked it, this is good, I'm going to eat it. So I've seen that happening a lot.
Interesting. Well, Andrew is back on the line with us. Andrew, we were talking about, you know, what actually happens during these after-school hours, and that the kids tend to get their homework done really quickly because they're excited about getting into the kitchen. From your observation, what do you see happening at the Elliott Test Kitchen that you think is really special?
Well, one of the things we were able to do last spring, they wanted to trial an ATT prep program, so they want to make sure that kids are supported in the classrooms, but we also want to make sure that they have the opportunity to go to that next level. And so in the spring of 2015, we trialed this first ACT prep program, which included about 17 kids. And so after that, we had promising results, and now the first session in the fall, and now we're in the middle of a winter session, we have just seen a lot of kids that want to jump on board and take advantage of this program. So that's really exciting to see that happen.
And how do you see the food part of this, the education in the kitchen going hand in hand with the classroom education?
Well, in Lee County, we have a lot of kids that are low SES. And a few years ago, the Des Moines Register did an article on kind of food insecurity in the state. And one in four kids in Lee County don't know exactly where the next meal is going to come from. So what Kumar's trying to do with the food is just create an environment where that's the last thing that they have to worry about. It's a place where we can really kind of tap into the mental ability of these kids and really help them succeed.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. This hour, we're exploring two different innovative and really, I guess, culinary approaches to education. Later in the hour, I'm going to talk with one of the founders of Look, Cook, and Eat, a digital magazine which is designed to teach people with intellectual disabilities how to cook. Right now, though, we're focused on Elliott Test Kitchen in Fort Madison, which is a place where young people can go to learn about food, but they also get tutoring or test prep in all kinds of different subjects. With me right now are Kumar Wickramasinghe and Andrew Troxell of the Elliott Test Kitchen. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to talk about a digital magazine that's designed to teach people with intellectual disabilities how to cook. It's called Look, Cook, and Eat. We'll talk with one of the founders of that magazine and also a special education teacher who uses the magazine and the lessons in her classroom. Right now, we're talking about Elliott Test Kitchen in Fort Madison, Iowa, where young people in the community can go to interact with tutors in all different kinds of subjects, many teachers volunteering at the Elliott Test Kitchen. Also, they have a ACT prep course that they teach, and they get to spend time in the kitchen learning about food, eating some great food that's prepared by the founder of the Elliott Test Kitchen and a chef, Kumar Wickramasinghe. He's here with me. Also, Andrew Troxell. He's technology integrator for the Fort Madison Community School District and also one of the consultants for the organization. And, Andrea, I want to ask you, now that it's been a year, you were excited about this idea when Kumar brought it to you. A lot of teachers have gotten on board. At this point, are you getting messages from people in other communities who are saying, hey, we want to make something like this happen here?
I think locally we are. Some of the surrounding communities have expressed some interest in having something similar in their communities. But right now it's just conversation, and we'd love to develop that partnership with other communities and really see where this goes to provide more opportunities for kids in Southeast Iowa.
And you've had a lot of success with the kids who've been coming. How many kids are coming?
Well, I would say I'm going to speak to the ACT side of things. We have about 70 kids that are taking advantage of that, which is phenomenal compared to when we started. With kids that were doing ACT prep on their own, there are about 47 kids that were doing something like that.
All right, so you've got a lot of kids. Kumar, do you have enough space for that many kids?
Actually, for the ACT on this last session, we had to cut off at 40 because I have only 37 chairs. But you know, we took care of that problem. It's a good problem to have. We'll be looking for more support, and once the programs start growing.
Are you getting a lot of financial support from the community?
Yes, absolutely. There's some people, you know, stepping up to the plate, some people who value education. But at the same time, you know, it's not nearly enough to continue the program because this is a new idea. The kids coming after school to a historic downtown building to do learn some studies is a very new idea for this community. And that's not the case. You know, the kids can go to a sports complex and learn how to hit the ball, and that's a common idea. So what I'm after is the change in that culture, because sports is very important, but at the same time, my message I like to get out is so is education.
Well, and how are you going about getting the word out and fundraising it?
Actually, you know, one of the things is I have totally focused on is any kid's academic achievement, I completely take that to the max. And so that's what we celebrate in this place, in Elliott Teskeyton. We celebrate academic achievement. So I even actually take the newspaper ads on the paper. We had one kid who got 33 on an ACT test. So we let the community know. I have all the posters at the windows of kids who have done great things in their academic. And that's the way, you know, of course, we're using a lot of social media. When a kid learned how to cook something, when a kid, you know, got great score on a test. So we were trying to use the social media most of the time.
And what is the social interaction like at Elliott Test Kitchen? I can imagine that that's a very important component of the success of this program, not just the academic success and learning how to make food, but this is bringing kids together.
Oh, that's not only is bringing kids together. So like some weekends, I have some fundraising events to, you know, bring attention to the community members and bring, you know, group at a time for a dinner or something. And I use a lot of these kids to, hey, come over here and help me. I want you to talk to these people. And that has been a great thing because some of these kids did not know they had the social skill. And the people truly cherish they coming and talking to them and then sit down and eating a good meal with them. And those are skills some of them they never got before. So that's a great social aspect.
We're talking about Elliott Test Kitchen in Fort Madison, Iowa. If you'd like to join our conversation with questions or if you've had experiences with Elliott Test Kitchen, we'd love to hear your story as well. You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Andra, I'd love to ask you, and Kumar, think about your answer as well. Can you, I don't want you to violate anyone's confidentiality or privacy, but can you give me an example of a student that you've seen come into the test kitchen and tell me how this program has really affected them? Andrew?
Well, it gives kids the opportunity to kind of step out of their comfort zone. And so one of the things that we see is the kids that come here maybe don't have the best home life necessarily, and so we're able to kind of pour into that kid in a lot of different facets. And so one kid that comes to mind is a kid that really struggles with just having confidence in the classroom, but also socially as well. Just through conversations and just developing a relationship with that individual, we're able to see his improvement. He's becoming a lot more confident. He's stepping out and talking to people that he normally wouldn't. You know, his academics have gone up. And Kumar talked about the individual that had a 33 on the ACT, and that was this individual.
Wow. And Kumar, how about you? Can you give me a specific example?
Yep, I got to pick which one I was going to talk about. The latest one is this ACT prep class. And then this mom really wanted to send this kid. And then mom said, this kid does not want to come to this ACT prep class because he has to work on that day because we offer the ACT class on Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And he worked that night. So I knew, and he worked in a restaurant, so with my background, I knew the restaurant owner. And I gave him a call, and I told him, hey, give this kid Tuesday night off. And so I did that even without the kid knowing it. And then this kid started to come into the class, and he became the highest score. He scored 33 on his ACT. And he's going to graduate on this May, and he hasn't even still applied for college yet. So now he's all excited. His mom is excited. This is for 33. He can get a free ride to a college. So he's excitingly filling out the college paperwork. So that's like one of the greatest, the most recent story. But some kid comes here. Now I can, when I have an event on a Saturday, I can call this kid, hey, can you come and make this dish for me? And talk to the guest how you made it. And they would do so awesome job. It just make me very proud. And I want to get back into the restaurant industry when I see, wow, there are some people out there truly passionate about cooking.
We've talked about a lot of kids in need coming to Elliott Test Kitchen. Do you have to have an economic need to be able to participate in these programs?
Absolutely not.
So do you feel like you're drawing enough diversity? Because, you know, having a diversity of kids from different socioeconomic backgrounds can be incredibly powerful as you're bringing kids together in this social way and educational way as well. Do you feel like you're getting enough diversity in the program, Kumar?
Yes, I do. But at this point, there are some kids who really can benefit from this program. They're not coming. And for example, actually, I started another program. There's a church, local church has a youth group. They meet every Wednesday, and they have about good 40, 50 kids gather up on this church. And they actually, you know, coming from a very various social background, and they have a meal at this church. So what I do now is I have several church group, those kids come to Test Kitchen on Wednesday. And then they cook a meal for this young, the whole church group, and then we deliver the meal to the church.
Wow.
So I'm hoping, you know, more kids going to come in here, but at the same time, they look forward to that every Wednesday.
And Andrew, what's your take on that? Do you see enough diversity in the group that's coming together?
I think so. I think we see a lot of kids that come from different social circles and even from different schools as well. And so one of the things about the Elliott Test Kitchen that's really neat is that these kids are going to interact with kids that they normally wouldn't otherwise. And so we can see that they're sharing ideas and just building off the strengths of other kids. And it's just a collective good that's happening there. And that's really exciting to see.
I want to go to the phones. You're welcome to join our conversation. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send an email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Mary is on the line in Ames. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I was just curious. I had a background in home economics education in the 70s and 80s and was just listening to this program and thinking of all the things that we taught in that program that seemed to be, you know, you need to go outside of the school year or the school day to get to. And I was wondering how, you know, are these kids falling through the cracks? Is home economics still being taught? I mean, a lot of the skills we learned even in high school was how to read a lease, how to write a check, how to, you know, prepare a meal with what you had, budgeting, all those kinds of things. So
right, a lot of important life skills. And, of course, I mean, as we've been saying, Elliott Test Kitchen is not just about the cooking, but also tutoring, which didn't take place in home and economics class. But, Kumar, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Are kitchen skills something that kids just aren't learning in school anymore?
That's true. And they're not that much classes offered. And I think they used to have home economics. And I do not think, I think Andrew can help me on this one, Andrew. Absolutely. Most of the kids come here, they have only cooking experience they have is whatever the macaroni and cheese or something they cook at home. So they are... I am just like introducing to new food has been the most greatest thing. So on that aspect, yeah, there are some kids does not know how to cook broccoli or doesn't even know the difference between broccoli and cauliflower.
Well,
and one of the focuses that Kumar really concentrates on is the culinary aspect. And one of the things that he also is able to do is partner with local schools and Iron Chef competitions. And I know Kumar would love to talk about that.
Yeah, tell me more about that. Iron Chef competitions for students?
Well, actually, they have that in Tamua, the college level. So this year I had two groups from two various schools. One is a Fort Madison, and then the other one is a Central Lee. They came to Test Kitchen, and they asked me to help them coming up with a menu. And so I work with those kids. We practice just like the competition here, and then they both went to the contest, and one team won a second place. So, yeah, absolutely, and there's many other different ways I use this.
So it sounds like not only are these young people learning skills that they can use in their own kitchens, maybe cooking for their families or at least for themselves as they get older and become more independent, but do you have some of the young people you're working with thinking about going into the culinary field?
Absolutely, absolutely. Right now, about three of them.
Interesting.
Yeah, and actually, you know, this is my main thing is like this is I wanted to create a place downtown Fort Madison where the education conversation happened. So this place, anyone, so I even tell the teachers, you know, do you want to bring teachers meeting? Oh, even a teacher, they have to a place to celebrate their kid's birthday on a weekend. And this is the place for. So this is truly created for educators and education.
Well, and Kumar, clearly this is a passion of yours. You've given yourself over to this in so many ways. Are you trying to balance this with a day job, too? Is this volunteer for you?
Well, it's a funny story. 2 years ago, I ran a great healthcare corporation. I was a chief operating officer. And in 2014, this healthcare corporation got sold. So I was on a severance package. So I really did not want to go beyond to another corporate structure. And I always wanted to do this education thing, which is my passion. So I was able to manage, survive, and getting my dream launch during that two-year period of time. So I think I'm a true believer in if I do something good, some good's going to come out of it. So far, I'm just keep the ball rolling forward, hoping people will support. And also, in the process, I have a more results to show. And I want to throw one quick number at. This is something keep me going. When I started this ACT program, I went to the school to find out, you know, what is our most standard test, which happened to be an ACT. And the last year, our school district, we had 174 kids graduated. Only 47 kids took the ACT. And I was shocked because that's really a really bad number. And because we're in a culture, you know, if you want to play a football game, you must go at least practice 6-7 practices before you get to start on a football game. But when it comes to the education, that's not the case. People not even trying it. So then that's when I partnered with Andrew. I said, Andrew, let's do this ACT course. So we went and recruit 17 kids, asking one of the coaches, send those kids. We want to teach them. We want to prep them to take their ACT test. And we even paid for every one of their testing. And we spent over $600 paying for their testing. And we got awesome results. So this year, we have single-handedly prepared 70-plus kids, double the amount
wow.
which the last year ACT took. So, you know, that kind of things, I cannot stop it. I got to keep on going. I got to get the help, and this is a good thing.
Andrew.
I may jump in on that, too. You know, one of the things that's really cool that we've seen, too, is that, you know, in the English test, the reading test, and the science test, a kid from every single session that we've been a part of has aced that part of the test.
Wow.
But we see some really great things happening with this program.
Well, and I'm sure Fort Madison feels incredibly fortunate to have Elliott Test Kitchen as part of the community. I'm also imagining many people around the state of Iowa thinking, how do I make this happen in my community? And Kumar, it's clear that it takes an incredible commitment to make something like this work.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time today. Kumar Wickramasinghe is founder of Elliott Test Kitchen and the Test Kitchen Educational Foundation in Fort Madison. Andrew Troxell, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Andrew Troxell, technology integrator for the Fort Madison Community School District and one of the consultants for the Elliott Test Kitchen. In just a moment, we're going to find out about another really innovative food and education program taking place in Iowa. I'll talk with one of the founders of Look, Cook, and Eat magazine. It's a digital magazine designed to teach people with intellectual disabilities how to cook. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. There are many misconceptions about people with intellectual disabilities, and their abilities are constantly being underestimated. Sue Haas has found a unique way to help people with intellectual disabilities learn, invest in their health, and gain independence. She's one of the founders of Look, Cook, and Eat, a digital magazine designed to help people with intellectual disabilities learn how to cook. Hello, Sue.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Tell me how the idea for this magazine came about.
Well, a couple of different paths. My youngest sister is, who's now 40 years old, was born with an intellectual disability. So I've always lived with that community and the understanding of that community and what their needs are. But it really sort of all came to fruition about 5 years ago when I began working with a coffee shop in my church called Plymouth Grounds, and it's a job training site for individuals, high school students in the Des Moines metro, with intellectual disabilities. And part of my work there included baking one-on-one with the student baristas, and I discovered that they really, really loved to cook. And so I did a little investigating and found out that the resources available to their teachers were somewhat limited, and I took an idea back to my business partners. We have a food media company and have a long history of food magazine publishing, so we have a good understanding of that particular genre. And I said, what do you think about this cooking magazine for people with intellectual disabilities? And so we sort of just ran with it, and Look, Cook, and Eat was launched last October.
How does it work? You can go to the website. You need to subscribe. But what do you get in an issue of Look, Cook, and Eat?
In an issue of Look, Cook, and Eat, you get 9 menus, and each menu has 3 different recipes in it. Every recipe is depicted in 3 different parts. You have the foods you need to cook that particular recipe, and they're shown in the ingredients. There's big pictures and voiceover of the ingredients. There's also a written piece, so you can see what the word looks like in case reading is not an issue for some students, but it is for some. So we try to usurp any kind of reading problems that way. And then you go to a tools page and you get to see all the tools that you need to make the dish. And in both of those instances, you never have more than 9 ingredients or 9 tools. So we try to limit the scope of things that way. And then in the third piece, there are up to three videos that basically take the user from start to finish to cook the dish, and then you end with a finished product. So it's all kind of depicted pictorially and through video and voiceover.
Well, and we were just talking about how a lot of young people these days don't learn how to cook, and so maybe they only know how to make macaroni and cheese. And I think that young people and people with intellectual disabilities probably get underestimated in their abilities in the kitchen and get taught to make very, very simple things, even when they're capable of more.
Right.
So give me an idea of some of the kinds of recipes you've put in the magazine.
Oh, my gosh. We have Sloppy Joe sliders. So we make Sloppy Joes and we put them on little buns. We have regular sliders too, and we've got roast chicken and mushrooms. We have panko crusted pork chops with baked sweet potatoes. We have taco salad or Chinese chicken salad. And so it's all real food. All of the groceries can be purchased in one stop at a kind of normal grocery store. And it's cooking. We don't play it down. We want people to eat real food, and we don't make our salads look like bunny rabbits or anything like that. So hopefully the the user is engaged throughout the process and can find something in that menu that, that will resonate with them and cause, you know, create some excitement around the dish.
Well, and I realize that a lot of people are using your magazine with younger students, maybe in junior high age, 12 and up, but it's really geared toward older students, right?
It's geared toward anybody who's a little bit afraid of the kitchen. We try to calm any kind of fears and show people how to use the burner. We are very distinct about, you know, turn your burner to high, 9 or 10 if your stove has numbers. We get really specific about how to work a particular piece of equipment. And all of the equipment is pretty basic. We haven't used a food processor or anything like that. So most basic kitchens will have these items. And we really try to calm and any fears. Yes, things are hot. Yes, things are sharp. But we believe you can do it. And if you just watch and go slow, you can do this.
I want to bring Karen Lamb into the conversation now. She is a special education teacher at Indianola Middle School, and she's been using Look, Cook, and Eat with her students. Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here. And how have you been using Look, Cook, and Eat in your classroom?
Well, we use Look, Cook, and Eat in several ways. We use it almost weekly to teach those cooking skills, but we also use it as a vehicle for teaching academic skills and to increase inclusiveness and interaction with their general education peers. So my students, during Look, Cook, and Eat sessions, they select a menu. They write their own grocery lists. They have to vote for which menus they want, and sometimes that gets a little contentious.
But right. heated arguments.
That's good to teach, right? That. They go into the grocery store, purchase the items, look at budgeting, look at consumer skills, and then we come back into the classroom and make that healthy meal. And then we, as much as possible, try to share that meal with either other staff or other students. So it's really, we use it as really a comprehensive tool in teaching life-centered education. Tomorrow we're actually making a Thanksgiving dinner for approximately 50 people,
wow,
both staff and students. And we're using those skills that we learned through Look, Cook, and Eat. Not just the cooking skills, but also those socialization skills that comes through cooking to present to the school, to show people exactly the many abilities that our students have.
Well, and you mentioned academic skills. I can imagine there would be math skills involved in this and making your shopping list. I mean, not only planning skills, but also you can work a little language arts in there too, right?
Oh, absolutely. When we after we make a menu, we go back and we review what went well, what didn't go well, whether or not this is something that we could use in the home, what changes we would make so we can incorporate those higher order thinking skills. Most of the time we do double and triple our recipes just so that we can bring in multiplication and repeated addition for the kids to use. So even looking at the different ethnicities of some of the recipes, we can engage in a social studies lesson as well. So really it is a comprehensive, it's absolutely a wonderful program because it does lend itself to so many different areas of education.
Have you already been able to see some of your students taking these skills home and using them with their families?
Oh, absolutely. We made pancakes earlier this year, and then we made pancakes for a peer group. And then I was happy to get a note from a student's parents that says, you know what, my child just over the weekend made pancakes for us. I said, she goes, I never thought that she would be cooking, and here she comes and she wanted to make pancakes. And we had no idea if she could do it or not, but she went and did it. And so to me, that's thrilling that they're taking those skills in the classroom. And not only are they doing them at home, but they're thrilled to do them at home and to share them with other people.
Well, and I can imagine you mentioned having more gen ed students, general education students, come and get involved as well. I mean, this is a food is an incredible motivator. So it's sort of a social lubricant, too.
Oh, absolutely. It is so much fun to see general education students come on down and say, hey, you know, we're here, you're making this. You know, can we help? How do we help? And even what's even more thrilling is to have general education students look at special education students and said, wow, I don't even know how to do that. Yeah. You know, teach me how to do that. How do you do that? And so I just think it's food is such a vehicle to bring people together that it's just amazing to see.
Well, and Sue, listening to Karen talk about using Look, Cook, and Eat in her classroom, did you expect that when you came up with the idea for this magazine, that this is something that could be used in schools as well as in homes?
I was hoping that would be the case, and I got a lot of information from teachers through this coffee shop program because they special education teachers would send their students there, so I'd get to connect with the teachers, and I asked them, do you have something like this? And or what do you do to teach your students how to cook? And so many times they would say, oh, we just Google recipes and use those. And if anyone's ever Googled a recipe, you know that there are a million recipes
versions of everything,
for chicken.
Right? Yeah.
And then you have to cull through that. And then not, you know, there's a high percentage of recipes that don't work or just aren't what you expected. And so I thought, well, you know, we have, we being my business partners and I have a really good understanding of cooking and making a good recipe and teaching. And so I thought, well, this could be something that would help teachers. Now, I'm thrilled to hear Karen talk about this because it just, it makes me so very happy to know that it's being used in so successfully in a classroom, and we do have a lot of teachers that are using it in their classroom, and I have a lot of people that have subscribed from different school districts, and it's thrilling to me because I think that in general cooking education is not always taught anymore. I think when I was growing up, my mom just let me do whatever we wanted to do in the kitchen. It was not a big deal. She's a great cook, and she just let us go for it, and that's how I got into cooking. But so many times I think a lot of parents don't know how to cook anymore, and they eat out a lot, and there's so many convenience foods available. But this is a great way to get people back in the kitchen, and it's an important skill to have. So I'm thrilled that so many different students are using it too, not just special ed students, but general education students too.
Well, and Karen, you mentioned that Thanksgiving meal, and I think a lot of us bring a lot of anxiety to preparing a Thanksgiving meal, and the idea of preparing a Thanksgiving meal for 40 people just raises my blood pressure just thinking about that. So tell me about this. This is a really ambitious plan.
Well, you know, this is our second year of doing it, and the kids are so excited, and I think part of it is that they have been successful at doing smaller meals that they have no anxiety whatsoever. They're just like, what do we have to do? And let's go and do it. Let me tell you, there is no grumbling when it comes time to cook. And again, we're taking that Thanksgiving meal and we are multiplying by 10, multiplying by 3, so that we are putting in those academic subjects as well. So the students are making dinner for 40 tomorrow, and they're also going to be practicing their hosting skills. And it's so exciting to see staff members come up to our kids telling them how much they're looking forward, and general education kids saying, hey, how come I'm not invited, and how do I get invited to this? So it's really a wonderful thing. And I would just like to say something. One of the great things about Look, Cook, and Eat is those recipes are put together so that they are nutritionally based. So much of cooking in the past for special education has been things that, like macaroni and cheese, which I absolutely love. But, how, you know, when our students are outside of the schoolroom, we want them to be focusing on those nutritional meals. And Look, Cook, and Eat is a vehicle in which a child can, or a student can, put together a whole meal that not only tastes fantastic, but looks fantastic as well.
And is nutritionally balanced.
Right.
And what's on the menu for Thanksgiving?
Oh, we have turkey and stuffing casserole, green bean casserole. We've made 8 pumpkin pies. We have a ham. We have cranberries and mashed potatoes. Oh, good stuff, good stuff. And there's a couple of little surprises in there, including a little play and gifts that the students made for each of their invitees. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun day.
I can't wait to see pictures.
Yeah.
Well, and before we run out of time, Sue, when people subscribe to the magazine, and you mentioned all of the different recipes that they get per magazine, since this is such a visual medium, and going back to these videos, do they also get access to the whole backlog of all the videos that you've done in the past?
Yeah, you get, as soon as you subscribe, you have access to everything that we've produced. So, you know, it's just a catalog. Since we've only been launched for a year, we're working on our 6th issue right now. We come out bi-monthly, and we're working on, I will say too, we're working on a lot of different other ideas for Look, Cook, and Eat, and so I'm very excited. I can't really talk about them yet, but we're really cooking up, no pun intended, we're cooking up some really great ideas, and I'm very excited for what's ahead. But yes, as soon as you subscribe, you have access to all of the things we've done, and that's... It's just going to keep growing.
So it's like a video-based cookbook. And just thinking about this, you couldn't have done this in traditional magazine form.
No, and that's the reason we went digital, because we needed to be able to use video and photographs. And when you can do that with a print magazine, but you have to go to a website, you have to find the video. It's just there's a lot of different steps that are involved. And it's... more cost effective when you do it all digitally as opposed to a print.
Well, I'm sure it's a very, very exciting resource for a lot of people. Sue Haas, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sue Haas is one of the co-founders of Look, Cook, and Eat, a digital magazine designed to help people with intellectual disabilities learn how to cook. Karen Lamb, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And best of luck with your Thanksgiving feast.
Thank you.
Karen Lamb is a special education teacher at Indianola Middle School. She uses Look, Cook, and Eat with her students. Talk of Iowa is produced at Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Claire Roth, Lindsay Moon, Dennis Reese, and Emily Woodbury. We had production assistance today from Divine Huff. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.